This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The final seconds tick away, and the Florida Panthers are going to the Stanley Cup Final for the third year in a row. The Panthers win Game 5, 5-3. They finish off the Canes in five games. The Panthers are Eastern Conference champions in 2025.
Final hour, fist pump time on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. I'm Sean Sharif alongside RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Bell. We got Peyton and Aiden in the back live on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube here as we try to get you closer to the weekend. Florida awaits the winner of Stars Edmonton with Game 5 tonight at the AAC. Jake Rietma is going to be there. He'll join us in studio tomorrow at 7 o'clock to recap. Zach Hyman is out.
He's had having surgery on an upper body injury. It looked like it was a wrist. Right, it didn't look like the worst hit. It wasn't like...
Yeah, Hagelin was saying that yesterday. He's like, I keep trying to go back at this injury, and it didn't seem like much.
Yeah, he had to have obviously gotten this, you know, the hand on the stick caught up, obviously, with
that was right before... Hagelin said that right before they started talking about me on their show. So, oh. I was listening.
Ooh, bad things.
I only caught the end of it. I assumed it was bad.
So, I assume it was a hand, metacarpal... Metacarpal, a wrist, something like that, which, you know, it sucks for them. And, you know, if they wind up winning this series, it's going to hurt them in the Stanley Cup final against Florida, because Florida's going, and Florida's incredibly skilled and gritty and tough. So it's going to be a tough one for them.
Who's got the strongest gut feeling about tonight? Who is saying, I know they're done, or this is going back to game six?
I think they're going to win. Like, I feel pretty comfortable that they'll win. I don't think it's based going past game six. Just because, like, again, I can't imagine they're just going to take this one lying down. They're going to be back at home. The AAC's been great the entire playoff run, so I'm guessing they'll rally tonight, and it'll probably end in game six.
Pepe, what are you thinking? What are you feeling?
The Oilers have been so good. I mean, I assume the Stars will have something under their belt to, you know, be able to get to a game six, but the Oilers, I feel like they're going to bring it all. I don't feel like the Oilers are going to lay it back at all.
That's the thing. You got to hope for the 3-1 road letdown that you usually get in the NBA. I think we got it in hockey over in the East, where Florida was like, that's fine. We'll take care of this in game five. Mm-hmm. We don't have to sweep them. And you get it in many different sports. Just the assumption, we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. That's what you have to hope for from Edmonton's mindset this evening.
Because I'm going to tell you something. Like, this is the game.
Worries me that McDavid's been like a little bit quiet.
Yeah. So is Mikko. So maybe
he's been a lot of bit quiet.
Edmonton's probably worried about him. Because let's just say.
And I just mean like recently, like in the last like game or two.
Let's just say.
McDavid, when's he going to break out again?
Let's just say the Stars win tonight. Edmonton has the weight of the world on them in game six.
Yeah.
The weight of the world. The last thing you want is to come back here again. Like, they want to wrap it up at home. Stars have not been a great road team. They've been much better at home. Pete DeBoer does not lose game sevens. He doesn't really win game sixes all that often. I mean, he's got a losing record in game six, but comparatively game seven, he's tremendous. So...
By the way, those two things can't go together, right? Back to Hagelin and Crosstalk, when we were talking about not being able to get over the hump, if you're DeBoer and being fired twice in a run of how many straight conference finals? It's not six.
Well, no, six straight for him? I have to go back and look. But he's 7-15, and I think it's now 8-15 in game sixes.
Okay, but if I tell you that you're 9-0 in a game seven, that says what? Tell me what that tells you as a sports fan. You're what?
What it tells me as a sports fan, like specifically with DeBoer, would be that he prepares his team to not be crushed by the moment.
But just in general, you're undefeated in game sevens. You're what?
Oh, I would say you're clutch.
You're clutch.
Yeah, you're clutch. You're mentally tough.
Right. So if you are that's the ultimate definition in many people's minds, what you do in a game seven.
Yeah.
So can we have it both ways of he's 9-0 and undefeated, but he can't win at all? You know what I mean? There's like, that means you're clutch.
Right. He's lost the Stanley Cup final twice. He lost to the Kings when he was with the Devils.
Yeah.
And then he lost to Pittsburgh when he was with San Jose.
So he's got this amazing, and we may be overrating this. That's what we do with game sevens, right? That's how legacies and myths and all these things get thrown together and confused. He's got this ultimate champion mindset in the biggest pressure game situation, but it doesn't happen in the next round. Something magically changes. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
here's the ironic thing. He missed the playoffs in six of his first 7 years as a head coach.
Wow.
And now he is in his 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the sixth straight conference final that he's made. Now, he missed the playoffs his last year in San Jose, got fired, and then last year in Vegas. But in the last six playoffs that he's made, he's been in the conference finals and lost every single one of them. Well, five, including this would be six.
I don't know. Maybe this is probably a bad analogy, but when I was producing political talk, news talk, when I was doing that, it was the day to day like monotony of like covering and stuff would beat you down, and there were, you'd have flat days and different things like that. The days where like news would break, like I remember the Boston Marathon bombing happened in the morning one time, and we were in the afternoon, we're going to be on in the afternoon, and it was like, we need this information right here. We need these guests. We need it all in a quick, and it was easier. So like, I think DeBoer is just one of these guys. He always meets the moment. So in like high pressure packed, like game seven situation, like he'll meet the moment there. And it's just, is that always the same advantage in games 1 through 6 or another situation?
So your NPR career is equal to the Western Conference.
NPR? No, we were making money. We were commercial radio.
Oh my God.
No.
We're not begging for handouts over here.
In all seriousness, my mom would text me during the draft. She's like, I can tell it's your favorite. This is before Wolchuk kicked me
out. Ruined it.
Yeah, and brought us. Thought he had been here for 15 years, making everyone dress up in his in his little outfits. But she'd be like, yeah, I can tell you're up for this. So I think that's what you're getting to. NPR, shots fired. All right.
Reggie's not here anymore.
We're going to get rid of their funding. I don't have any more funding. Bruce Bochy had some advice for the Stars on the KNC Masterpiece yesterday. He knows a thing or two about titles.
You know what? Never say die. That's the thing. You know, never give in or let down. That's, you know, the best advice I would give. You know, it's one win just changes everything. And, you know, you win the next game, now the pressure kind of falls on the other side. And so that's all it takes right now is just find a way to win one more game, get the momentum, swinging your way. And it's amazing how quick things can change.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I've been down 3-1 before.
Yep.
And,
yep.
You know, had to win a game. And that, boy, I tell you what, what it does is, you know, for those players and for the other team, now they're going, oh no, you know, momentum has swung. So,
it's
been
done
before. It's been done a lot of times.
I actually love that clip.
Nice editing there, Alec.
I love that clip because Bochy's giving like a stock, like, it sounds like a stock pretend answer at first.
Alec just threw his hands up.
Like,
Alec has really Kevin's fault.
At first, like, Bochy's giving you like a stock answer where he's like, he didn't have any clues. He's like, I don't know. Like, try your best. And then, like, in the process of talking about it, you heard him start going, like, look, if you win one game, like, that kind of flips things a little bit. And, like, you heard him, like, talk through it. It's like, oh, there's the actual, like, motivator.
Boch says, never say die. I only took that cheap shot because of the cupcake. the Dallas Mavericks are saying die to the Stars in hockey. Rick Welts, the CEO, talking yesterday.
Dude, he talked a ton at the Wall Street Journal's The Future of Everything event. Well, they interview a bunch of different CEOs and stuff like that. And it's basically CEOs pay to go sit there and just get all the insight and take little notes. So
I love how they get the number one pick and he can talk at the Futures of Everything event.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know? It's like, whoa, is he getting invited if they don't, not getting Cooper Flag?
But Rick Welts says the Dallas Mavericks will not, because obviously he was brought here in large part to get them a new arena. He says the Dallas Mavericks will not be splitting a Stars arena. He said, nope, this is not going to be built for hockey. He told the Wall Street Journal that this is going to be about being an entertainment complex and a basketball facility. That's what they're focused on. So it sounds like the Stars are going to have to figure out what they're going to do. If they're going to hang around the AAC or if they're going to need something else, they are not going to be able to share their space with the Dallas Mavericks anymore, according to Rick Welts.
So let's talk about that from a view setup. He's saying, oh, it's so much better when you don't, as a basketball fan, this will be so much better.
Because if you look at the...
How am I going to get such a better basketball view when they don't have to account for hockey?
Well, if you look at the, in the kind of the baseline, the end zone, let's call it the end zone. Obviously, when it's hockey, they have to push all those seats back. The ice is bigger. So you can make the seats lower and closer to the arena in a basketball only. You could basically make it a complete rectangle instead of like more of the oval kind of shape.
Be closer so you can see that baseline. So you can see Anthony Davis in street clothes.
There you go.
Close view.
So, I mean, you could make it like right, the Intuit Dome where the Clippers play.
Ballmer.
Right? You can make that wall.
Toilets.
Toilets! We're going to have toilets everywhere! You get that wall, right? You have that. You can make it more to your specifications. Hey, ever the same thing for hockey. You know, it could be better for hockey, too.
I love watching hockey at the AAC. Like, there really isn't a bad seat in the house to me. NBA, I feel like every NBA arena I've ever been in has, like, been the same. Those are the most anonymous-looking things I've ever seen.
Agreed.
Yeah, but, like, you know, like, look at those, like, old baseball, football stadiums. The Three Rivers and the all those cookie cutters. Yeah, they all look the same. They were not great for either one, and it's just the way it is.
Candlestick used to crack me up. You remember when you'd see them playing the football games and they had like all the left field seats like empty and jotted out? It was so weird watching the games there.
What else did Wells say?
He said a lot. He talked about the Luka trade. He said when he first got here, he said he got the call. He was laying in bed. He said he was wide awake. And about 90 minutes before everything happened, he got a call from Patrick Dumont. And he said, hey, Rick, hey, we're going to make a trade. And Rick Wells said, okay, great. What are we doing? He said, we're going to trade Luka to the Lakers. And Wells said, I'm like, who is this? Who is this really? He said, so yeah, I found out about an hour before you did. My first 30 days in Dallas were awesome. The next 100, not so much. In fact, he was talking about it. He said there was no way to prepare our office for what was about to happen. He said there's just a personal toll that it takes. But he said it was an incredibly rough ride until a couple Mondays ago when it got a lot better. And so Rick Welts says, look, everything's turned around. He said it was a 1.8% chance. He said, in other words, it was impossible that we could possibly get that. The whole night was interesting. I walked in to take my seat, turned around, and I was sitting from here to there, and he just gestures really closely to Cooper Flagg. He said, then the Mavericks logo is on stage. He said, about the fifth envelope, as the reporters can tell by which teams do or don't come up, they announced in the room the Mavericks were in the top four. He said, I said to the media relations woman from the Mavericks, if our logo doesn't come out at number four, I think I'm going to have a heart attack. He said, and then it didn't. And then it didn't come out at three. Left the Spurs. He said, and somehow the Mavericks have the number one pick.
Oh, baby.
And
oh, baby.
Pat Doney said that Welts also said they made $7 million in season ticket sales in the first 3 days.
After the Flag deal?
Yeah.
Yep. I could see how.
I don't think there's ever been quite a reversal of fortune in our league, maybe any league.
They need to slow down a little. You have not built up enough good cachet yet to be spiking the ball yet, Rick Welts. No, you think so?
I'm just trying to keep it. Again, Bobby Flaw, let's focus on what he said. My mind goes to organizations that have the biggest turnarounds. So he's not spiking.
Okay, if he's talking about mood, if he's talking about morale, sure, morale within the building probably got a lot better.
Psyche.
Or the state of the franchise.
I don't think the state of the franchise flipped that aggressively. Like not to the point, like I think there are still a lot of fans who are super unhappy. Like they're not feeling as much of it inside those walls.
Yeah.
But half the fan base is still not like pumped.
I'm just trying to think of like.
This is an amazing golden parachute.
No doubt.
This is one of the best.
I think financially for them, you could argue that this does apply.
It would be huge for them. But I mean, even still, seven. Like
this is the financial parachute. Right.
No one wanted to lose Luka. A fringe.
Nico did.
A fringe fraction. But Cooper Flagg can absolutely replace Luka. He's a homegrown player. Like he'll be drafted here. Homegrown, we love our homegrowns. If he turns out to be a great player, you'll never forget Luka, and you'll never forget that night. But there is not a better golden parachute in the league.
I think there's also a little bit of like the hype factor that's covering them right now. Because even when Cooper Flagg gets here, and he'll probably be a really great player, and he'll play really well. None of the projections right now are saying Cooper Flagg's going to be Luka.
No,
right.
He's not.
That's the thing. I think there are people who have heard the hype train right now, and they think they're getting potentially the next LeBron. That is not Cooper Flagg's projection.
Right. Yeah.
What if he's Tracy McGrady?
But they're being covered. That's what I'm saying. The Mavericks are getting cover right now from fans that think, a lot of fans who think this might be LeBron.
Who's Grant Hill?
Then that's about in line, a hurt player who doesn't show up very often.
But no, like Grant Hill from an ability.
If he's Grant Hill, that doesn't save them.
Ooh, man. How many championships does it lead to? All right, we got to table this discussion. Final hour of the show continuing here. Tyreek Hill says Travis Hunter is going to suck. And apparently Hood and Country is now coming to the NFC East. Next on the Red Zone, your football fix that Bobby's going to love after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
How many people want to eat a W tonight?
You know what I like about the media? They think you can just dial 1-800 and get a quarterback.
Every day at this time, you know you are getting your football fix. 9:20 with the Red Zone. Get it? With the 20? And then we'll have the KNC Crosstalk at 9:40 here on Sean and RJ, along with our Cowboys insider, Bobby Roberto Belt, with the Cowboys back on the practice fields today. How about Tyreek Hill throwing some shade? He's on this video game. Are these some people I should know? These gamers?
Aiden Ross, streamer. Yep.
Neon too.
Okay.
Now, my favorite color.
Now, Aiden, I think, just gave away he's not a video game player, because when I looked back there and I said, should I know who these people are? He was definitely shaking his head no, left or right.
You should know.
Or is he just calling me old?
Yeah. So I was
Aiden Ross is who Antonio Brown?
He was with Aiden and Neon.
For the gun stuff?
I don't know the gun stuff.
Antonio Brown firing the gun.
Oh.
You have no idea what I'm talking about.
I do, but I didn't know that was with Aiden Ross.
I thought that was like after some event.
Oh, it might have been. Yeah, it might have been. But yeah, I was sitting there watching this video, and Julian's right there. He goes, oh my God, is that Neon? And he's like, oh, it's Aiden Ross. I mean, I guess they follow closely.
What he does. Didn't know if Aiden Ross was a musician or a boxer. I had no idea.
I lose track. I mean, that's where I most feel old right now.
Oh, but you get on me for not knowing these teeny boppers, the difference between Sabrina Carpenter and who's
I mean, that's Sabrina Carpenter. You should know her.
Sexy Red.
Is she the one that is doing all the gyrations?
Yeah, she's doing a little much.
Let Peyton talk about his topic.
Yeah, the positions. Yeah, she does all of them.
What positions would she be doing?
No, let's just continue. Anyway, Tyreek is on this video game stream, and they asked him about Travis Hunter.
Yo, Tyreek, what do you think about Travis Hunter?
He gonna be ass.
Wow.
All right, so that makes the headlines, and then a video on Twitter has accompanied this.
It has accompanied this, and this is, look, these are routes. These are routes being run by Travis Hunter against air, right?
Which he should be good at.
He should be dominating. he should be dominating against air. Or, you know, to be fair, this is about as close as Big 12 defenders usually are to receivers anyway. But he was stumbling. He was stumbling out of the break.
There was multiple routes. Are you looking at this now?
I'm looking at this video.
This is not impressive footage, Bobby.
I had
body catcher on the second video, second pick.
I'm seeing three routes here. I don't think this is nearly as bad as I was anticipating it was going to be. So the first route, like when he's in his break. I don't know if it's hard to see. There's a coach standing right there, so he can't see his foot. That may have been a slick spot on the turf. I have no idea. It's not unusual to see somebody stumble on a break once or twice. The second one, there's nothing wrong with his route running. He catches it in his stomach, but that may just be lazy. The third one, I don't see an issue other than the ball got thrown wide.
The third one, I think what they're saying is when he stopped, it was a comeback. He was a little slow.
It wasn't like crisp.
It was a little slow. Like he planted his foot and his weight kind of got to the outside of his knee a little bit.
Yeah, which he didn't run a lot of that at Colorado.
Probably like, I mean, not.
The big thing with him, this was the case with corner or receiver, no matter what he played. He is not a technician. He's a freak, and he's really good. And a lot of his stuff that's rare and his ability that's super rare is about his ability to track the ball, his athleticism, different things like that. That the tools are there for him to become an elite route runner. He is not right now, but they'll get it cleaned up because, I mean, he's somebody who has, by every testament, worked really hard along the way. And a lot of people across the NFL thought him splitting time between corner and receiver just made it to where he wasn't getting enough time to really devote to, like, learning the ins and outs of the position.
So that's Tyreek Hill with some shots fired.
His favorite receiver in the NFL, CeeDee Lamb. The Tyreek Hill streams, he'll open up on there. There's a lot of stuff that's gotten buried over the years that would probably be a lot worse for
him. He's trying to kiss ass right now in Miami after he said, I'm out of here. And now he's like, oh, I need to set an example and show that I really want to be here. So I'm like, what are you getting at? Are you trying to butter him up for a trade? Trying to get another deal done? Something's happening because that's not Tyreek Hill, little boy scout on good behavior. Give me a break. Meanwhile, Travis's teammate, I think Choppy, is here as a media watchdog to defend Shedeur Sanders.
I am going to defend Shedeur. I do feel bad for him. Look, the one thing I don't like about OTAs or mini camp or training camp is that it's such a small sample and it's all we have to go on. And we overblow everything that happens. Mm-hmm. Good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
Overblow it. So, you know, yesterday Shedeur had, OTAs in Cleveland. And you could tell by the amount of throws. Flacco had 14 attempts. Pickett had 16. Gabriel had 16. And Shedeur had 9. All right. So he's clearly fourth of the depth chart.
Or they're just wanting to emphasize work for somebody.
Right.
For whatever reason.
Now, he had by far the best numbers. He was 7 of 9, 3 TDs. Gabriel was 11 of 16, 2 TDs and a pick. Pickett, 9 of 16. Flacco, 9 of 14. So he did really, really well. But what they're doing already is they're either going to overblow. Well, he's fourth. He's buried fourth. This is not. Or they're going to overblow what he did, and this poor kid is going to have no chance. They're either going to raise expectations like they do all the time, or they're going to criticize him. Say, see, he's buried in the depth chart. He's got no chance of playing.
Disagree. Because here's the thing. He is that existence for him specifically. He had a big hand in like creating that environment, knowing exactly what was coming his way. But like to me, it's like,
that's fair.
I can't sit here and do my golf bits all the time. And then if I like go out there and I play poorly golf, it's like, why is everybody being so mean about me just trying to play golf? I'm just trying to enjoy a hobby.
Right.
It's like, well, no, like I talked up a certain game and now we're here. Hey, look,
that's fair.
Since he got to Cleveland, he seems like he's handled everything the way he should. Looks like he's gotten some humility. He's answered everything the right way. And I still think he was the top quarterback in the draft.
Ooh. Bob Kuiper Jr.
Bob Kuiper Jr.
I'm representing America in this in terms of my roller coaster of rooting. So at first, I wanted Deion and Colorado to make a splash. I wanted that big story. It was exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Then they got too cocky and arrogant and put it in everyone's face. And I was happy with the draft downfall. And then my sympathy kicked in after the draft downfall. So now I'm back to rooting for Shedeur. So I'm just like your typical sports American fan. You're a great story, and I want to tear you down, and then I want to see the comeback. Right?
Yeah.
So there we go.
We need narratives here. Look, people are complex. We need that to play out in the media narratives as well. We got to reflect that complexity.
Well, I want you to keep that in mind.
No, not with this one. Please, God.
With Cam Scadaboo.
Scadaboo!
Who Bobby and I believe will be a bum. He was on the St. Brown podcast, and he's bringing some swag. Two types of swag. Two types.
Touchdown.
To the NFC East.
And I'm looking at you. Are you full white?
I'm Norwegian, and then I have a little bit of Portuguese in me.
Okay, you're a little. I feel like you're a little spicy white. I don't know. Yeah, I can't tell what it is. You got the chains.
I grew up with a lot of lot of ghetto-ness in my my life.
Yeah.
So, you know, I got a little bit of hood to me, but I also got
some
country to me, too.
Yeah, I'm a little spicy white. Right, I don't know what it is, but
what
I'm
you talking spicy. About? New York got a
spicy white.
There it is.
Okay.
Bobby, your boy.
Bobby.
Similar facial hair.
No, stop that. I have much stronger facial hair than him. Like, it's the thing I hated yesterday was people like, whoa, you got Cam Scadaboo's crazy. Like, they got the Giants got a psycho. It's like, why? Because he's like, I listened to Twista and Blake Shelton. Like, I don't understand what he's even getting at.
Did you see the video? Like,
where is he from?
He was California initially. California.
Okay.
Did you see the video of Abdul Carter standing next to him?
No.
They don't even look the same species. Abdul is a giant. And then there's Cam Scadaboo. I mean, he really looks like he's 5'1".
Rio Linda, California. I'm gonna have to look this up.
Yeah, I'm having to.
Sacramento County. It means pretty river, Rio Linda. So I have to investigate the mean streets.
Sounds hood AF, Cam. good for you. So, yeah.
And sounds about white. Here
comes Abdul. That's Abdul Carter?
Yeah.
I thought Abdul Carter was like a lot leaner and thinner than that. Holy crap. Wow. Dude, is Abdul Carter that much bigger than Micah?
Abdul Carter's a little bit bigger than Micah.
He looks a lot bigger than Micah.
No, so wait, who's is he next to Scadaboo in the picture?
Are you sure that's not a different Carter on the Giants?
They said it was Abdul Carter.
That guy looks like a monster.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
So Abdul Carter's like about the same height as Micah. He's a little bit, he's bulkier, but he's about the same height.
I'm talking bulk. This guy is thick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, in the red zone here as we cover all football, Bobby Belt. He wanted to get in some college football shots as well.
Yeah, I'm so tired of the SEC. I hate being here. I hate being a party to this. Look, Texas
Buckle
is
up, big daddy.
Look, like I said recently.
No, just say what Stephon Diggs wants to be called.
Look,
up, daddy.
Like I said, you got to be the change. That's what Texas is doing in going into the SEC. It's like, let's clean up these streets a little bit. Let's make it a little bit more appropriate. So we got a great example of just how bickering and just petty the SEC is. This will make an appearance tomorrow, I'm certain. Kalen DeBoer, over the week, they were out there doing SEC media, and he just could not stop whining, as Alabama has continuously done the last few years, ever since NIL arrived. He could not stop whining about the fact that they got left out with such a tough, tough schedule.
Kind of wonder what would happen if other people would have had the chance to play our schedule last year, and that would only get tougher. I know if you played a full SEC 9-game schedule, I know from our end going into this season, we're playing 10 Power 4 games with Florida State and Wisconsin this year on top of the 8 games. So I know we haven't held back at this point on, you know, anything when it comes to playing a tough schedule non-conference wise, and so you would certainly have to look at those things as it applies if you played 9 regular season games that were all in the SEC.
The most insecure, prestigious program in in sports, period. That they are so whiny. Like, the fact that you won 6 titles in like 10 years, whatever you did with Saban, and you're still just whining about, like, we weren't allowed in the playoff. We weren't allowed to sneak in the playoff after we lost to Oklahoma and Vandy. And, like, what if other people played our non-conference schedule? Okay, so you mean 8-6 Western Kentucky, 7-6 South Florida, 5-7 Wisconsin, and 8,000-student FCS school Mercer. That's your juggernaut. Like, what would they have done? Other teams probably wouldn't have lost to Vandy. I know there were, like, 6 teams that didn't lose to Vandy that beat them this year. You weren't one of them. Or the 7 that beat Oklahoma. And then you go to Michigan. You go to play Michigan, a team that had been below 500 for the last 2 months of the season, and you lose to them too. Alabama didn't deserve to be in the playoff last year. The fact that they continue to whine and cry about this is hilarious, how insecure they are. By the way, that last title they won, Chop, conveniently 6 months before NIL came into place. Isn't that weird how that program can't adapt at all?
Well, they were the Final Four.
Undeservedly so.
No, they deserve that one.
Undeservedly so.
They deserve
it. Now, the portal is what killed them. Kirby Smart is saying he's getting kicked hard from people when he's complaining about the portal because Georgia gets into the playoff. Then they got to worry about guys getting picked off. Kirby Smart went off on it and said people have been trying to put him in his place about the portal.
The biggest decision that has to be made in college football right now, by far, to me, by far, is when is the portal window and is there one or two? There is an outcry. There is schools. There's different conferences that feel like it should not fall during the play-in season. I would love that. I would love to be able to play the season without it. Is basketball able to do that? Or do they deal with the portal during their championship?
During the tournament.
Yeah. What do we deal with during the final, let's call it maybe four teams? I don't know if I'm exactly right on that, but roughly we're down to four. We deal with that. Okay, that's because of the academic calendar for us, where the academic calendar falls. And everybody doesn't have that incongruency. Oh, by the way, we had to deal with that multiple times. It's not fun. It's not fun. It's really hard to be playing in a championship setting and having to deal with that. But when I brought that up as a complaint or a problem, it was told to me, there's no crying from the yacht. So if you're going to play in these environments, you have to be willing to do that.
He's right, though. You should not have a portal during the playoffs or during the end. The fact that Michigan in basketball had, I think it was Pippen's kid, entered the transfer portal in the middle of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Like, that can't happen.
I agree.
It can't happen. You got to wait till the season's over.
Yep.
Oh, you weren't going to take another shot at an SEC coach to end it?
You did this. So I was trying to be good.
He's right.
I was trying to be on time.
Let's crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece to wrap up the Thursday edition next.
Not a single day went by this season that Oklahoma City did not hold the best record in the West. And now this historic, relentless thunderstorm has unstoppably, emphatically, and officially earned the moniker Best in the West. MVP, SGA, and company say we will OKC you in the NBA Finals, baby.
Oh, what a call there from Thunder Radio.
I get it.
Storm is coming.
OKC you in the NBA Finals.
Yeah. Let's crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan.
Do you think this crosstalk will be better than that call?
I hope.
Boy, he sounds like he'd be great in like War of the Worlds Part 2, like the Orson Welles. Like,
yeah.
He sounds very Orson Welles-y.
And what did he do here?
TV.
He was follow-up before. Yeah, he was like super midding up the TV broadcast for a couple years between Jim Durham and Mark Folliwell.
Did you guys know him personally?
I mean, I didn't. I was a kid. I'm young.
This is Pinto? Yeah, is that Matt Pinto?
Yeah.
Cha-ching, a Maverick Buddy Ball.
Yeah, I was young when he was here, but I thought he was all right.
It just sounds so sticky.
He wasn't as, because obviously on TV you say less, so he wasn't as wordy. But holy cow, man. I mean, I don't even know. Do they even need an analyst with him?
Gosh, yeah. He was here 8 years?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
But four of it was radio and then four was on TV. But geez, 8 years, I didn't realize he was there that long.
Because we're not used to having any mid. I didn't hear him, so I'm going to insult. Well, I do insult his Thunder calls. Mm-hmm. But we're not used to having mid play-by-play people around here.
No, Folliwell is fantastic. Brad Sham's fantastic. Nadell's a Hall of Famer. Like, that was when Brad Sham came to my class at North Texas to speak. Yeah, I was there. Hank Dickinson was the teacher. We were at Bill Mercer's classroom. He said, we're spoiled here. And Ralph Strange has said the same thing. He said, we're spoiled in DFW by all the broadcasters we have here. And he just went through the whole list. And I was like, holy crap. Am I biased by it? Or is that a real thing? Then you listen to these guys, their knowledge and the way, like what they are doing. They're very good.
Then Lewin came along and ruined it.
Oh, I loved Lewin.
Lewin was really good. They were going to have.
I liked Josh.
Lewin was especially good.
I'm just joking with him. I'm taking a shot at Josh.
Josh is especially good on a bad baseball team.
Yes, and they were bad most of the time he was here.
You have to be entertaining, and he was.
Was he buying people hot chocolates at some point? They'd come by. Yeah, they'd come by, and he'd go, hey, you want a hot chocolate? And then people would just come by, and he'd buy them hot chocolates.
During the games?
During the games, yeah.
Neat. So what did he get in trouble for?
I don't think he ever got in trouble.
He was disliked.
Like, I don't think.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
He was an organization.
He was a pure baseball guy. He was bits. He was bits. He was pop culture references, and a lot of people didn't like it.
Sorry, RJ. I know that happened to you, too.
What? Oh, kind of. But I would say I got in trouble. Technical. Why is he not the guy anymore?
Yeah, it's just like, I think it was Nolan. I think Nolan had already gotten here at that point. And it was just, he wanted more of a serious broadcast.
I want a more serious answer from Anthony Edwards. RJ will probably defend this, but his big quote, I like that.
No one's going to work harder than he is.
No, the big quote that offended me was, why should I be upset? I'm 23. I got a lot more of these to go. So is that great life perspective, or should someone tell him who Dan Marino is?
Well, and then also, didn't he say pretty much the same thing last year? Wasn't he like, what can you do? We'll be back.
I can't figure this dude out. He says like the most cold-blooded alpha male doggish things that I love. And then he says stuff like this. And
that is odd.
I can't figure it out. Makes me think, okay, he can't be the next in the league because it's not always there upstairs. I know it's not always there off the court either.
What do you mean by that?
I mean like his abortion cases. Whoa. Or pressure. Whoa. You thought I was going to be afraid to say it.
Yes, I did. I should have known yesterday when you dropped that word. Afraid.
Oh, my.
Did he buy out like all the child support? Is that a real thing?
I just remember him pressuring.
Yeah, he pulled the J.J. Redick.
Oh, or the Justin Timberlake.
JJ Redick's story is able to disappear into history.
I don't think I even know that story.
Yeah, because his story didn't happen in the middle of it. But like he had, that was right after he got into the NBA. He had, like, something came out about some like $100,000 contract he had gotten to.
Oh, goodness.
Do that. Yeah.
What do we do with Ant now as the next?
I mean,
did you believe it was though before the series?
I did, and I still think that it has a chance too. Because he is right. He is 23, and there's still plenty of time in his career. But as that conversation about, was it Matt Riccardi that says, we have a 20-year roster for the Mavericks here, it's difficult to build a good roster.
And now he's clearly been surpassed by Shea.
Yeah.
I know Shea's obviously a little bit older than him. But
and why can't Shea be the next?
I think he can.
Can he?
Yeah.
In Oklahoma City?
Yeah.
I don't think he can. The same push is not happening. Like, it feels like it should already be here with him.
Yeah, maybe.
His realization.
Yeah.
The MVP just finally got it, even though he's been really good for a while.
I felt that way about Steph Curry. As people are like, the ankle guy? Well, we'll see. And then it took off. So I think
Steph had something about his game, right, that was so unique. It's not really there with SGA.
Yeah, it is. He draws fouls like nobody's business. That is a real thing. Like, he's very good at it. He's skilled
at it.
Yeah, I know,
but that's not.
That is his thing. Nobody wants it. Yeah, nobody wants it.
That's a statue. His statue is him at the free throw line.
Yeah. There you go. There's a statue shooting.
I don't know. He's just like. People haven't embraced him for some reason nationally. But, like to the extent. I don't think anybody really dislikes him.
No.
People dislike the free throw. But, like, nobody is like.
And I think that free throw thing is overblown, too. Like, if you look at the numbers, it is not as bad as people like to make it out to be.
No, his volume of free throws is not, but the fact that he gets a foul call where there's two guys that are near him, but he's got it's a very...
Name a superstar in the history of the NBA, except for Shaq, and I feel like that happens a lot.
I get you. I get what you're saying.
Okay.
I dig.
Then who?
I dig what you're saying, man, okay? But, thanks, you know, RJ. He's a flopper. He's a flopper.
So is Tim Duncan.
Do you put him in a Harden conversation in Ginobili?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. Now, like, he may not flop. Like, Ginobili's flops were different because of the hair.
And I guess Duncan didn't really flop. He just committed a foul.
Right. Wide eyes.
Yeah.
The bug eyes.
And I don't feel like SGA is a complainer. He just gets the benefit of the calls.
Giannis had 12.6 free throw attempts per game. Shea had 9. Luka had 9. Luka and him were tied. So there you go, Kevin. You got a point there. Giannis is the worst.
I don't know. I think if you...
He's a grifter. He's a grifter!
Like, I feel like Shea is what happens if, like, Michael Finley would have been the best player in the NBA. Where it's like, there's just not like a draw to somebody like Finley. Like, I can't.
You feel the same way about Jokic?
Devin Booker's got a very public profile and other things like that. I don't know that Devin Booker, good as he ever was going to be, like if anybody was ever going to like embrace Devin Booker. And Devin Booker at least has a little bit of the villain thing you can get.
But there's a difference with Joker, right? We're not saying he can't be the best player in the NBA, but.
He can't be the face.
No, no, I agree with you. And that's why I'm asking, because Jokic has clearly been the best player in the league for like 5 years. Mm-hmm. At no point in the last 5 years did I think he was the face of the NBA.
We all know,
I'm with you on that.
We all know it's going to be Wemby. I was just wondering why it wasn't Shea.
It's
going to
be Cooper Play.
Oh.
Obviously.
You think Wemby's going to be the face of the league?
Yeah. Not even close.
I just don't know that we're ever going to have a non-American.
All right,
I just don't
on.
Know that that's going
to
happen.
Literally, we've had no opportunity to.
Hold on, Bobby. Luka's so great. He's in the biggest, he's in the most marquee team they have. Why the hell isn't he going to be the face of the NBA?
He doesn't have the public personality. He has the personality.
The guy who loves to drink and smoke.
Wow,
and talk,
propaganda worked on
curse
him.
Words. He can't be the public face of us.
He could if he wanted. Yeah. He doesn't talk.
Wemby talks. I think Wemby's done more talking in a year and a half than Luka has during his time in the NBA.
What's coming up on the show, Corey?
Guys, we might have a Shoddy sighting today at 11:40. Shoddy press conference is supposed to be going down, so we'll see exactly how that goes. But Brian Ray will join us to hopefully get us back in the good graces of the hockey gods and get a win tonight at 12:20 today.
What were you guys saying about me yesterday?
Everything.
I got back in my car and I caught the very tail end. And Corey said, we'll ask him tomorrow.
So,
yeah, I forgot.
Corey, I think essentially his contention was how much you love crosstalk. And then he made the kind of allusion that your day really starts when we show up. So you get
my day
talk
starts like I'm out of here or
no, they, like you're happy. Work. You're happy.
Yeah, I think when I was like, yeah, whenever we show up, you could see the look on his face. He's just it's his day's really started now.
Yeah.
And okay. Yeah. It's probably, my work day's over.
I don't know.
But that you're like.
I think it's just because you like us so much.
Inside.
Like you're really jazzed. Started. You can only be happy once they're here to interact.
He's like, finally, these guys' voices, said, fresh me. Voices to come in here.
And, yeah. It's not really you guys. It's just bodies. Cool. It could be anyone. You know, it's like a G-bag show every day for me when you come in because it's so much less work. I don't have to say like five words because
so
there's 14 people in the room.
You don't think it's captivating conversations like this. So earlier, RJ made reference to the War of the Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk about Orson Welles for just a minute. Have you ever seen Citizen Kane?
Yes.
Yeah, boring.
Right. I have not.
Okay.
So boring.
That's an outrage.
Was it James Wood?
I watched it in high school, though.
I think it's a very overrated movie.
You just said you've never seen it.
That's the point.
Okay, great.
What's the point?
Here's why I think I'll get you back in on this movie. All right.
Oh, that
one. So the whole thing is a snow globe for Rosebud. He made that movie, at least in part, to burn William Randolph Hearst, who was the most famous and rich person at the time. Rosebud.
The original Kendrick.
Yes. Rosebud was the nickname that William Randolph Hearst had for his mistresses. And he built an entire movie around that reveal.
Citizen Kane, the movie, is built around revealing the nickname to Orson, to William Randolph Hearst's
mistresses. Yes.
Vahee.
Ladies.
Now, there's a plot built around so they don't say that's what it's for, but that is why he picked that name.
I'm going to go watch this movie now.
That's not
I want to see.
In the movie, that's not. That's publicly in the movie. It's a sled.
The plot is built around something different, but that's why he, in part, did it.
What is the plot to you bringing this up?
Because he said War of the Worlds, and I just wanted to talk about that. And I wanted to point out that you can't just have anybody in this room that brings you that kind of heat.
Hagee, the Third Man is Orson Welles' best movie.
I will say this.
Ooh,
I feel like every show, and this is really bragging on us. Every show we've done crosstalk with has probably enjoyed their crosstalk time with us the most.
Yeah.
Ben and Skin, I know Ben, everything's the greatest, and he tells everyone they're the best. But he did tell us it was like the best crosstalk.
Best crosstalk.
And I felt like we enjoyed it with them.
That was pure gold as always when we had G-Bag.
How many people have we done that with? Crosstalks.
Well, we did it with
G-Bag?
Obviously G-Bag, Ben, Skin, these two. Yeah.
And you guys agree. This is
we have Mike too. No one.
We had Mike.
This is your most enjoyable. You already told us we were better than G-Bag and Crosstalk.
You know what? G-Bag and I, they heard that. They were displeased by that statement.
They were.
Every day Dawson goes, how do you like that for engagement?
So we have.
We would have done it with Josh.
So I have said I will step up my game as well.
Nui. We were on Nui at the very beginning.
There's people smoking weed out there.
Did we work with Nui?
Uh-huh. He was right after us. He was 9 to 11.
Okay. Oh, that was 5 to 9 a.m.
No, that was
the
ESPN.
We used to change the station.
No, that was here.
Every year.
No, y'all had Josh.
When we first got
here. I was here when you first got
Nui was not on, I don't think. Was he?
I don't remember. Yeah,
he was. He was on for like 12 months, and then he left.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, and then
no, yes, that's not true.
Correct.
We got here. Get him, Corey. At the same time, like we were a month after y'all.
Exactly. After.
Yeah. And so 8 to 12 months.
Listen,
8 to 12 months. It's not the same. 8 to 12 months is not the same. I was here for a whole year.
I
not listening to Nui.
I don't know what to tell you. Nui was here. Okay. I don't know what to tell you.
He was here at one point.
That is true. He was here with us.
Ask Nui if we've ever done Bobby Texas.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know that we did crosstalk that at the time.
Okay.
Because that was something that started with Spittle.
That's right. Okay. All right.
That's it, guys.
All right, that's it.
You're welcome.
Shut it down. You're welcome for the greatest.
Serious Corey has arrived.
Serious Corey has arrived.
Oh, yeah, he can't be sarcastic today.
Yep. I am trying to win a $100 gift card from Atolo. He said to any restaurant I wanted, and I'm going to get so much Jersey Mike's.
Because they're sick of your sarcasm?
Yeah, I guess so. They don't think I can go a day without being sarcastic, so I'm going to effing prove it to them.
And the KNC Masterpiece has that for you next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.